Good afternoon. You're listening to Kim Ariano, and it is Walk the Talk with Kim on this glorious day. So if this program ever goes syndication, you're going to know the weather every Wednesday between 4 and 5 p.m. because we around here, and Eric, I think, would probably agree, we're very in tune to the weather.
We absolutely are, especially here in the Alternative Talk Towers, because we have a great view of the outside world from the studio here. So we really see it.
You do. We see the hills alive with sounds of music, like Julie Andrews would say. Absolutely. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So I'm sitting down working this afternoon, and I'm at the local Starbucks here, which is really funny because there's two in the same little mall.
I was going to say, which one were you at?
Exactly, which one. And I have not seen so many people wearing shorts with these just pale, really pale. And I can't talk because I'm as white as the rest of them. But it just dawned on me how temperature is really subjective depending upon where you live. Because down in California, people would be wearing sweaters in 67 degree weather.
Right.
Here,
right.
You know, shorts, short sleeves, tank tops. It's like everybody's getting a
I was seeing people
in
shorts when it was 50 degrees or a little less than that. And I'm thinking, well, bless you for, you know, for trying. But really, it's not shorts weather.
Just have to keep looking at the sun and just ignoring all the people walking around you in shorts.
But speaking as a pale American, I got to take offense to the slander that pale legs are a bad thing. I say they're a good thing.
I guess if you look at it in terms of evolution, yes, it's a protective barrier against, sure.
That means our legs will be less wrinkly in the future.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother is 96 years old and she has beautiful skin. So I have to say, and she spent a lot of time out of the sun.
Mm.
So there's a lot to
sunblock.
That. So in 50 years, I can say neener, neener.
There you go.
Is that the way that it works?
Exactly.
Wonderful. Well, the show is brought to you and sponsored by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation. That is the Pearson Promise. We have so much to cover today, and I have some incredible guests in with me today. They're the cutest guests that we have ever had by far on the Walk the Talk with Kim show. I've got Kristen and Kelly Klein, and they have just what struck me about our guests that we have today is not only that they're young, but that they're young and actually doing something pretty profound and significant. So I've got a million and four things to talk with them about today. But before we go to them, I did want to share with you a couple of updates. The Brain Matters Awareness Auction and Celebration Luncheon is happening next week. And we had our very special guest, Dallan Elliott, with the Chris Elliott Fund for Glioblastoma Cancer Research. I said that without looking. She is putting on her first annual Brains Matter Awareness Auction and Luncheon next week on the 26th. I am going to be there, and I would love it if our Walk the Talk listeners would join us. Jean Smart, she's a 3-time Emmy Award winner. She's also a board member of the Chris Elliott Fund. She is going to be there and give a keynote presentation. Some of you may remember Jean Smart on Designing Women. She also won her Emmy on The Frasier Show, which is a favorite of Walk the Talk. And also John Curley is going to be the auctioneer and the MC event. So we'd love to have you join us. There are still seats available. Glioblastomas, for those of you that did not hear that show, is a very aggressive brain cancer. And what is really exciting about what the Chris Elliott Fund is doing is they are funding research to alternative forms of addressing this very aggressive brain cancer, including the recently approved by the FDA brain cap, which is a device that goes on the top of the head and it targets without any chemicals or any of that kind of fun stuff. So really cool things are happening. We'd love for your support. Please go to www.chriselliottfund.org. And that's Chris as in C-H-R-I-S, Elliott as E-L-L-I-O-T-T, fund.org. And join us again. That's next week, next Thursday at the Bellevue Hyatt at 11:30, the celebration luncheon. And very excited. It's going to be really exciting. Also wanted to let you know that I had and Eric, jump in on this one. You're going to love this. So I'm going to hold up a picture of which nobody of you in Radioland see.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean anything to you?
Well, you're holding up a picture of the tow truck the very famous Seattle icon, the pink tow truck with a big tow on the front of it. Yeah.
And you remember the tow truck?
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
So the creator of that tow truck, the mastermind of marketing, the person who took this VW bus and turned it into a Seattle icon, is going to be joining us for two episodes of Walk the Talk with Kim next week. Mr. Ed Lincoln,
cool.
With Lincoln Towing, is going to be joining us. And he just wrote a book, has published a book, and it's called Life Through the Rearview Mirror. And you can buy that at Borders Books. Again, Ed Lincoln, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. And I met with him yesterday and asked him questions about entrepreneurship and business. Mm-hmm. Man is sharp as a tack, and he has got some really profound and interesting things that will help all of us that are either in nonprofit, community-based organizations, or even entrepreneurs in business. So we're really excited that he's going to be joining us on the show next week.
And are we going to have a pink elephant in the studio the following week?
A pink elephant?
Or
something
the
pink.
The other Seattle icon.
Oh, there you go.
Car wash. Never mind.
Again, different studio.
That's
and not,
right.
You know, we're off our
all,
mojo
it's
here.
All good.
It's all good. We'll get there. So, yeah, so he's going to be joining us. The
and Larry
and the
Space
22nd.
Needle joining us the following. Never mind.
Larry.
Larry Space Needle. Never.
Okay.
Never mind. Let's move on. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great if we could get all the Seattle icons in here?
I would love that. So if any of you know a Seattle icon, please invite them to this wacky world known as the Walk the Talk with Kim show.
That have invented the Seattle icons.
Things, whatever. Yes, you're all welcome. We'll put anybody on this show, but not just anybody, because today I'm going to actually introduce, they've been waiting here so patient, Chris and Kelly Klein. Kristen, I got her name from a friend of mine who knew I did the radio show. And she says, you have got to get Kristen on the show. She's doing something absolutely wonderful and fantastic. And as most of you listeners of the Walk the Talk with Kim show, I just love and fascinated with people that actually do nonprofit, community-based organizational work. But most of my clients or most of the people that come in and talk, they've been in nonprofit for a long time or if they've been part of a community-based organization for a long time. And it's really interesting to hear their history, why they got into it. But there's not a heck of a lot of history here with Kristen, but it's still fascinating because I think you're just really taking that huge leap. And I really want our listeners to be inspired by what you're doing. So with that lead up, what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to Uganda and Kenya this summer, so I'll be in Uganda for 6 weeks at Hope Care Child Program. And so my friend and I, when we decided to go there, we emailed the founder and we said, hey, what do you need? We wanted to do something. So he emailed me back and he said that they don't have enough beds for all of the kids yet. And so we heard from him that as volunteers, we would be staying in the guest house and we would have a bed to sleep in. And so talking to my friend Amanda, we figured we didn't feel right sleeping in a bed at night knowing that there's kids sleeping on the floor. And so we decided, okay, let's raise the money for the beds. And so from there, we just started brainstorming how we were going to go about doing that. And one of our friends, Carly Hubbard, had been working on a graphic design project. And so she had designed something for a different fundraiser for Me for Africa. And she showed me the design and I loved it. And so you can see it on my shirt right now. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her, and so it said, Love Kenya, and Kenya was made up out of school supplies. And I said, okay, let's change that. Can you make Africa be made up out of bunk beds? And let's sell T-shirts to raise money for the beds for the orphanage. And so that's just where it all started. And we kind of just went from there.
That's awesome. You say that so nonchalant, like you just called somebody up and then you're off in Africa. So how did you get involved in this organization to begin with? Were you just going through, you know, Facebook and said, oh, that looks like a good program? Or how did that all come together for you?
Well, I'd been looking for a place to go to in Uganda for months with Amanda. So it's always been my dream to go there. And last summer I went to Kenya for a month to a different orphanage. And so I knew I wanted to go to an orphanage. And so we'd been looking and looking and nothing was working out. And then a church here in Bothell, Eastlake Community Church, I was looking at their website and it said like organizations we support. And so I was looking through them and then I got to one and it said Hope Care Child Program. And so I went to the website and it was an orphanage in Uganda and I read up on the orphanage and what they're doing and what they're about. And it seemed like something I would be totally interested in. And so just from there, I emailed the founder and asked if they accepted volunteers because we wouldn't be coming on a team. And I emailed the pastor of the church and said, like, what's your background with this orphanage? Is it safe to go to for two young girls? Like, can you get me connected with anyone? And then he just got me connected with a girl, Erin Thompson, at the church, who's gone to the orphanage twice. And so I met up with her. And so from there on, I knew it was safe and an organization that would be great to support and would be using our money in the right way. And so we just kind of took it from there.
When did you start to dream of, or when did you start to see, at what point in your life did you start to go, Africa, that's where I want to go, or I want to go there, or I love that? What happened in your life, or what happened that you decided that this is what you were called to do?
My freshman year, I went to Skyline High School, and I saw the Invisible Children film. Have you heard of that before?
I have not.
It's a film, and it's a nonprofit out of San Diego, and so it's these two boys or three guys, and they followed, there's been a 26-year-long war in northern Uganda, and it's called the LRA, and so they've been kidnapping children and making them into child soldiers. And so that film just really struck a chord with me. I'm not quite sure why, but I responded to it so emotionally. It just really hit me what was happening to those kids and the things they had to see and experience. Some of them had to kill their family or watch their family be killed or taken in as child soldiers, and just seeing how that impacted their lives, and just thinking about how so many of us here in the United States never hear about these things, what's going on outside of our world here. And so that just really hit me. And just seeing other people's pictures from Africa and their experiences and hearing about them, I just really wanted to go. And so I would say that's the year where I started to dream about it. I didn't think I'd actually be going. So it's crazy for me that, like, my dream's coming true and I'm going. I leave on Monday, but that's just kind of where it all started.
Interesting. And so you went to mom and dad and you said, I'm going to Africa. And at 15, your mom and dad went, yeah, okay, this week, let's see what you want to do next week. Is that kind of how it went down?
Kind of a funny story. I decided my freshman year in college last year that I had wanted to go to Africa. And so my friend Sarah said, well, just come with me this summer to Kenya, just kind of spur of the moment. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so I knew it was going to be hard to convince my parents, so we made a PowerPoint presentation and video. And
I love it.
I came home over Thanksgiving break, and I presented the whole thing to my family and wore her African dresses to let my parents be able to go. So,
oh my gosh, that's so fun. I want to talk more about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. And we have with us Kristen and Kelly Klein, and the organization is called Hope Care Child Program. And we're going to learn more about this wonderful, incredible family when we come back after the break.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. we think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and I am Kim Ariano, and this is my show. And I'm really glad to be here being a servant to all of these wonderful nonprofit organizations that are out there. One of the things that's really exciting, originally when I got into this radio show, it was an opportunity to promote my business, which is a consulting business for mission-driven organizations and teaching psychology and all this kind of fun stuff. And because of this show, you know, it might be the, you know, the tail wagging the dog, but I've started to find really what it is I am called and what I am supposed to do. Sometimes we know exactly what we're supposed to do, like you. Sometimes we fumble and stumble through life before we go, oh, it was there the whole time. And so you're going to be hearing a little bit more coming on, but I did want to announce that the Ariano Consulting business is going to be changing, and we're announcing a new name. It's called Walk the Talk for Success. It kind of builds on the whole radio show, and the radio show builds on it. And so you're going to be getting some Walk the Talk for Success tips and things coming up on future shows. But I wanted to let you know, because if you go to Facebook, which those of you that are fans of the Walk the Talk with Kim show, I love Facebooking. I'm very aggressive in my Facebooking, only because there's so much really great information. I want to make sure that everybody knows everything. But if you go to Walk the Talk for Success, and that's for the number four, you can sign up, and I have a whole bunch of really fun information that I'm putting on there, understanding psychology and business, meditation and movement, all kinds of really wonderful fun things that people are posting. So please join us on our Facebook. It's Walk the Talk for Success. And also don't forget, you can also friend us at Walk the Talk with Kim on our Facebook page as well. So we're hitting social media with a giant bang here on the Walk the Talk with Kim show. So we were talking with Kristen Klein, and I wanted to now ask her sister Kelly, who's on, and I wish you can see these two. They look like identical twins, but I guess they're 4 years apart. They're just adorable. Good job, Dad. And so Kelly is on the show as well. And so you are also going on this trip to Uganda with your sister. No,
I'm actually going to Kenya with her.
See, that's the stupid American question that I wanted to ask you. So I see it says Uganda on your shirt, but you talk about Kenya. Mm-hmm. So give me a geography lesson.
So it's in Eastern Africa. And so Uganda and Kenya are right next to each other. So I'll start out my trip in Uganda. And then after that, Amanda and I will fly to Kenya. It's just an hour long flight. And then Kelly will join us in Kenya.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're not going to Uganda.
No.
But you're going to Kenya.
Yes.
So what's the difference of the needs between Uganda and Kenya?
The Ugandan orphanage, that one, they don't have any running water, electricity, or anything. But the Kenya orphanage, they're a lot more well-off, and their needs are met a lot more than HCCP does.
So this is your first trip there, Kelly?
Yes, so this will be my first time even ever going on a mission trip in general.
Have you ever been out of the country?
Yes.
Okay, because I've only been to Mexico and Canada. Have you been farther than that?
Yeah, I've been to Italy and Europe.
Okay, so you've been at least on a big, long airplane trip across the ocean, but never to Africa before.
No.
You excited?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so what did you guys, we were talking about malaria pills. So what other things do you guys have to do to prepare to go to on this trip?
We have to get a lot of shots. So just a couple weeks ago, we got our yellow fever shots. And, you know, overall, we have to have about like 10 shots or so, and just our malaria pills, our typhoid pills, just getting everything ready for, you know, any health problems that might arise.
So besides raising money for beds, what other things are you doing, or what other needs are there in the orphanages in Uganda and Kenya?
So the main thing for us for the Uganda orphanage was getting the beds. So we're not only getting them beds, but we're getting them mosquito nets to protect them from malaria, and we'll be getting them mattresses, bedding, the whole deal. And then one of my other friends, Kelsey, got really excited about what we were doing, and so she decided she wanted to do something too. And so she decided to sew 150 pillowcases for all the kids at the orphanage. And so the thing that was really cool about that to me was these kids never get anything just for themselves. It's always, they get it in bulk, it's always the same. And so she did individual ones for all the kids, like bright colors, stripes, polka dots, African animals. And so we're going to be taking those with us. And she got people to write letters to each of the kids. So we'll attach that to the pillowcases. So they'll all be getting that. And so that's going to be really exciting for those kids, just to know that someone out there loves them and is praying for them, and to let them know they're special and valued. And so that's going to be really exciting to deliver.
So you're carting 150 pillowcases.
We're taking
to
so
Africa.
Much.
That yeah. is so awesome.
Yeah, and people have donated books and clothes and school supplies, so we'll be taking a lot of stuff. And at the orphanages, we'll be teaching. And so I'm studying to become a teacher, and so is Amanda. And so we'll be teaching. They have grades 1 through 7. We'll be teaching math and English and just helping with whatever they need around, whatever they need, whether it's cooking, cleaning, helping take care of the babies, getting them dressed, changing their diapers, feeding them, helping with homework. So it's kind of just play it by ear, and what they need that day, we'll help with.
I was reading your website. So you do a blog.
Yeah.
What's the name of your blog?
Smallthingswithgreatlove.weebly.com.
And I put that on the Walk the Talk Facebook cool. page. I'll put that on the website as well.
Okay.
But I was reading through it, and you were talking about the last time you were there,
mm-hmm.
you had a little three-year-old that became
yeah.
real special. Can you tell us about her?
Yeah, her name is Sharon, and so she's 4 years old now, and I am so excited to be reunited with her this summer. I miss her so much. So she was at the orphanage in Kenya, and we grew so close, and she would call me Auntie Kristen, and She was so cute, and she'd follow me around all day, and I'd carry her around, and I'd change her diaper, take her to school, get her dressed, and she was just precious, and she means so much to me. And I've been able to write letters to her this year to keep in touch, and I'll send her pictures of us together, and the founder of the orphanage gives me updates on her and will give me responses from what I send to her. So she knows I'm coming, and I'm working on making her a scrapbook right now that I'm going to deliver, and I'm just so excited because I know how close she grew to me. Like at night when I would tuck her in for bed, she would start crying because she'd want me to stay with her the whole night. Or if I set her down to go to the bathroom, she would start crying. And she told all of the other kids at the orphanage that I was just her auntie. So
oh, that's sweet.
She's just so sweet. And I can't wait to see her and to see how much she's grown since last summer when I was there.
What do you find is really different about these kids? I mean, other than the obvious trauma and what that they've gone through, what do you see is really different, but what do you see is the same with kids from here?
The number one thing that stuck out with me in my experience in Africa was the joy that people have. I feel like the media portrays it as there's these starving kids and they're all sad and miserable, but they have so much joy in their hearts. And to see that peace and joy and how content they were, and they have so little, but they have so much joy, and just seeing them worship in church for hours on Sundays and dancing, and they sing, and it was just amazing for me to see that and to be able to take a part in that, because we're so blessed with what we have here and we take so much of it for granted. And we don't find happiness in money and things. It's not about that. There it's about relationships and spending time together and their relationships with God and their faith. And it was just really cool for me to experience that for myself. And I can honestly say that's the most joy I've ever felt in my life. And I can't wait to go back this summer and to have that again.
Oh, that's great. And I hear that from other friends that I've had that have gone to Africa, that they're not walking around like zombies in the desert, mm-hmm. that there's actually a really cool social structure, and they take care of themselves and mm-hmm. they take care of their needs in terms of in ways that we don't mm-hmm. here in the United States. What are your expectations? You've never been there before. I'm sure you're really, really excited. What do you think this is going to be like?
I mean, I definitely know that this is going to be the greatest experience of my life. I don't think words can express how excited I am after, you know, my sister coming home and sharing her pictures and stories. And I am just so excited to be able to have, you know, those pictures and stories come alive for me. And, you know, I'm just going in and, you know, I know that I'm going to be different when I come out, and I don't think I'll ever be the same person again. And to be able to experience the joy and love that, you know, the people over there have is going to be amazing.
Oh, that's great. Now, we were talking a little bit briefly during the break, and I had mentioned that I had heard of the Children's Soldiers, you know, I think on PBS or something like that, and had watched that. And of course, you get overwhelmed, really, you know, because there's so much pain mm-hmm. and so many things that are happening that it's kind of like, oh, that's sad, but it's not happening anymore. But you're saying, Kelly, you were telling me, no, it's still going on.
Yeah, it's still going on. Now it's moved from Uganda into the Congo. And so now Joseph Kony, he's, you know, been in hiding, and the LRA is over there, and they're just murdering village by village, just going over in the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've left Uganda now, and, a bill was passed, and they're trying to,
the government is trying to pretty much get rid of Joseph Kony because he's the perpetrator that's starting the whole thing. And so, I mean, there's just so many different things going on in Uganda and Kenya, and it's not just child soldiers. There's still problems in other areas, too. And so that just really struck me. I feel like there's so much need there, and so much of it goes unnoticed by us here, and we don't hear about the things going on there. And even just there's riots been going on in Uganda the past few weeks with the government, and I feel like a lot of people aren't even aware of that.
Yeah. No, isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. But you're going to write about it and you're going to tell us in your blog. So we need to make sure that we look at this blog and that we help. Mm-hmm. So what's the best way someone can help?
Well, our goal was to raise $7,220. And so
that's very specific. How'd you get that number?
Well, we added up. We needed to buy bunk beds and the mattresses and the pillows and mosquito nets. And so we'll be getting 57 orphans their first bed, which is going to be so amazing. You know, some of these kids are 14 years old. They've never had a bed in their lives. And so I just can't even imagine the day that we deliver that. And so what we've been doing is selling the T-shirts all year. We've sold hundreds of shirts all over the U.S. It's been amazing to see the people that have supported us. And it's been so humbling to see people's generosity. And at this point, we're sold out of T-shirts since we leave on Monday. But we've been having people just donate to us the past few weeks. But as of yesterday, we met our goal for the money, which is so exciting.
It's congratulations.
Yeah, it's the first time we've announced it. So we raised $8,000. So we went over what we needed.
Very good.
But at this point, if people still want to donate, we're taking the extra money over to the orphanage. They need so much still. It's not just the beds. I mean, I know Pastor Fred, I'm going to ask him what else can we help with because I know they still need so much. And so if people want to donate, they can go to my blog and I have PayPal account set up, or they can email me and I can give you my home address to send a check to. But
yeah, and I've got that blog listed again. It's kind of long, but I've got the link and the link's on Facebook. And again, I'll post it on my website. And then you will keep letting me know and us know so I can keep telling our listeners kind of the update on what you guys are doing out there.
Yeah.
So I'll keep looking at that blog.
Yeah,
and
I'll be updating it. Yeah, I'll be updating it while I'm there this summer. I'm planning on posting stories and pictures. I'm not sure how often I'll be able to get on, but at least once a week I'll be posting stuff so people can follow what's going on while we're there. And I'm just so excited to be able to share it with everyone. It's just been, I think it's so beautiful that people from all over the U.S. are supporting these children in Africa. And most of these people I've never met in my life. And we come from all different backgrounds, different beliefs, different financial statuses. And to see all of us come together has just been so amazing and so exciting. And I think it's so beautiful that hundreds of people are a part of this instead of just two people handing us a check. And so it's just going to be so neat the day that we deliver that and to be able to show people, like, this is what you gave towards and these are the children that you're changing their lives. And it's just been really neat.
Well, with any cause, it takes passion and leadership. So you guys are doing awesome. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more with you. We're also going to talk with Dad because you've raised these incredible girls. We want to learn a little bit more about what your home life must have been when you got that PowerPoint presentation. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Come on back and listen to Kristen and Kelly Klein with Hope Care Children's Program.
Joseph's face was black as night. The pale yellow moon shone in his eyes. His path was marked by the stars in the southern hemisphere, and he walked his days under Africa's sky.
Come join the original Adventure Boot Camp for Women in the Pacific Northwest. 7 years and running. See for yourself what it's all about, an experience you don't want to miss. Adventure Boot Camp is a four-week outdoor fitness program that offers fitness instruction, nutritional counseling, and motivational training, packed with fun and energizing activities designed to help you build a strong, fit body and mind. Whether you want to lose unwanted fat to feel fabulous in your clothes, or if you want to boost your metabolism and renew your energy, this program is for you. Now is the time to get started. Class size is limited and fills quickly, so go to eastsidebootcamp.com or call Kimbro at 425-890-5037.
Hey, my name is Craig Goble.
And I'm Dory Z.
And I'm Rob Gray.
And together, we're the best thing you can do on a Thursday afternoon from 4 to 6. We're talking about leading-edge real estate topics.
Learn the ins, outs, and secrets of the real estate industry.
And why things work and why things don't every week on Real Estate Radio.
We'll tell it to you as it is, straight, honest, and from the cuff.
And where else can you listen to three real estate professionals who are doing this every day? We're in the trenches putting transactions together and solving problems.
Real Estate Radio.
Tune in every Thursday afternoon, 4 to 6.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Ariano, and this is one of those shows where I'm just about jumping out of my chair with excitement, because when you've got these two beautiful souls that are sitting here that are going to do something incredible for a bunch of other people, and we don't even know all of the places that we touch and all the ways that we inspire others to do really great things. And I was telling them on the break that I have never in my wildest dreams even considered doing something like this, but that doesn't mean that I can't. And so I'm just really excited that you're here and that you're doing this. And I hope it inspires others to, you know, whether it's Kenya, Uganda, or the homeless down the street, it really doesn't matter. The action is what's really, really going to be very important. So I'm going to invite Dad on here. Dad originally wasn't going to jump in and talk, but I talked him into, or actually his daughters go, no, Dad, please. Come on, Dad, it'd be fun. So what did you do here to raise this? Because we want other parents to be raising that. What? Tell us a little bit about where you think this is coming from.
I think a lot of it is our girls have done quite a bit of traveling, because I've always been a traveling sales guy and been really good with frequent flyer miles and hotel points and all of that. So since they were little, we've done quite a bit of traveling, you know, all over. Mm-hmm. A lot of different places, new experiences, and so on. And, you know, they've been really driven in school. They love school. And I think it just all came about from that.
That's awesome. So Kristen comes and says, Dad, I need you to sit down and I'm going to show you a PowerPoint presentation. What was your first thought?
Right. Yeah, me and my wife were going, oh, okay, this should be interesting. And, you know, they gave their whole presentation, and I basically told him, well, okay, if you can raise the money to pay for the flight to go over there and, you know, to everything for the whole trip, I said, certainly, we're definitely open to it, and looked like an incredible opportunity.
And did you think she could do it?
Yeah, I really didn't. So it was pretty amazing that they could raise the money. So
you must be really, really proud of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big darn deal. So I'm hoping that one of the things that you feel good about is that other parents, that their kids come up and say, hey, I have a PowerPoint presentation, or I'd really like to do this. I think what is important about what you do is that you said, okay,
right,
do it.
Sure.
And that's not too many parents. Well, I think a lot of parents are just so busy. And it's nothing. It just is. It's just the way that we do it. It takes a huge leap of faith to say, okay, just do it. Yeah, make it happen.
Right.
So I applaud you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good. So hopefully that inspires some other parents out there to at least give them a second thought. Now, if they come the next week and say, okay, I don't want to go to Africa now. I want to go to Iceland and help the Icelandic ponies, because there really is a problem with Icelandic ponies, by the way. That's something a little bit different. So I think what's different about you is you have passion. You know exactly what it is you want to do. Now, Kristen, you said you wanted to be a teacher. Why do you want to be a teacher?
Well, I didn't realize this until last year coming into college. I came in as a journalism major, thought that's what I was going to do, and just throughout my freshman year, I got involved in different experiences. I joined a tutoring ministry for inner city kids, so we went down once a week in San Diego, and we helped the kids with their homework, hung out, play games, and I just absolutely fell in love with it and grew really close to a little girl that I'm still tutoring now. And I worked at a summer camp over the summer with kids and just started to realize that there was a passion there within me for kids and working with kids, and I had never thought of that in my life. And just so throughout my first semester, that freshman year, I started meeting with one of my writing professors and just talking about possibilities and what I was thinking and what I was going through and ways I could go with this. And so just throughout that semester, I realized that teaching is what I'm supposed to do and it's what I'm passionate about. And so I changed my major, and I absolutely love my classes and I'm so excited, and I'm leading that tutoring ministry now. And I helped with the kids with homework last summer in Kenya. And so now I want to teach in the inner city and then go abroad, hopefully in Africa, and live and teach there. And so I'm really excited this summer to be able to teach in the classrooms and see if this is something I really can see myself doing long term.
Mm-hmm. And then life happens and you're going to go someplace completely different. That's how it always goes. But that's always a really great foundation. Mm-hmm. I mean, being a teacher is absolutely fantastic and rewarding, and you're going to go so far. So did you have to learn the language?
Luckily, the kids, they learn English in school. So the older they are, the more English they know. In Kenya last summer, the little kids, they won't really know that much English. And the kids that come from the surrounding village in the community, they don't really know English. But you make it work. On Sundays after church, I'd play with about a couple hundred village kids would come. And I'd just play with them for hours. And we had no idea what we were saying, but you make it work. And it's so much fun. And they speak Swahili, and I learned a tiny bit, but I mean, barely anything, but
you're going to be there for 11 weeks, though, now, right?
Yeah, but in Uganda, they don't speak Swahili, so it'll be two different languages. Okay. They speak a little bit, but I'm hoping maybe I'll catch on a little bit more this time, and work, and it's funny.
So this is a bit of a philosophical question. What do you think they need? And not in terms of bunk beds or things like that, mm-hmm. but what do you think needs to happen to the generation that you're working with to change what's going on in Africa?
I think that it takes people in the U.S. Realizing there's a need out there and responding to it and realizing how blessed we are, and to not keep that for ourselves, but to go and give and serve. And it's not even just about donating money and just handing someone a check. It's about going and having that experience for yourself, going abroad somewhere and seeing it for yourself is so different than looking at someone's pictures or watching someone's videos, because people think, you know, I'm going there to change these kids' lives, but really they changed mine, and I'm not the same person I was before I left for Africa, and it completely changed my life, and I'll never be able to live the same way again. And I just think it takes people taking that leap of faith and going and doing something, studying abroad, going on a mission trip, just doing something, even if it's starting a fundraiser at home. I just really want people to realize it doesn't matter how old you are, you can make a difference in this world. And it just takes that passion and that drive and just believing it'll work out and not giving up. And I did a fundraiser in high school, and now I'm doing this one, and my sister joined in. And it's really just, you have to go for it. Don't just sit around, do something, find something that bothers you in the world, whether it's AIDS, slavery, sex slaves, or orphans or homelessness. Just pick something that irks you, and that's where your passion is, and go for it. Find a way you can respond to that.
That's brilliant. Pick something that irks you and go for it. That's a very interesting way of putting it. I had not thought of it that way before, but it's so true. Mm-hmm. Because when you see something that needs to be changed in the world, that does gives you that fire to make the change. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people out there that might be listening on the radio and driving and going, you know, I applaud that. I want to help. I want to donate, but I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, there's lots of things that irk me, and I don't have time for it. I think my thought behind that is everybody has intrinsic motivations or things that they're really, really good at. Mm-hmm. Some of us, you know, certainly like you two, are leaders. That's, you just are, and you're not afraid, and you're going to go for it. That's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people are really good at bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. Some people are really good at graphics. Some people are really good at organizing a work party. Whatever it is that your passion is or that you like to do, do it. I mean, mm-hmm. So from that perspective, what else can people do to help your organization? I mean, you raise the $8,000, so now you know you can do whatever you set your mind to. And so you might come back and say, okay, you know what? They need X, and it's going to take $20,000. What is it that people you're looking for some talents and skills that maybe aren't readily available, you think that you might be looking for?
Well, I truly believe that we're all given different strengths to use in this world, and we're all different. And so realizing what your strength is and how you can use that to benefit another organization. Like something small I did when I got home, I love doing blogging and working with websites and Photoshop. And so the orphanage I went to in Kenya, I've been doing the blog for the orphanage this year. And so just helping out in that way. And I might not be there, but I'm helping them out by doing posts and updates for the sponsors and the donors and helping the founders send out emails. And so just finding something that you're good at and then asking someone, how can I help using this? I know one of the girls that went last summer is now helping with the bookkeeping for accounting. So you can use your strengths in so many ways to help different organizations. You just have to put yourself out there and say, hey, how can I help?
So this organization, Hope Care Child Program, mm-hmm. that's not your organization. That's a bigger organization.
Yes.
And did you have their website on the top of your head? If not, I can look it up during the break.
I'm not positive. If you Google Hope Care Child Program, it should come up the first one.
Of course, Google.
Yeah. So it's the orphanage's name in Uganda that we're going to.
Excellent. We're going to come back from a break and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Kristen and Kelly Klein of Hope Care Child Program. And we're very excited to have you on the air today and to bid you adieu when you leave next week. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from Walk the Talk with Kim.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
G'day, my name is Dr. Brett Bolton. I'm your host along with Eric Ryder every Tuesday afternoon on Half Hour to Health. Join us and our guests every Tuesday at 3 p.m. as we explore health and wellness. In less than 30 minutes, you'll come away with the answers you need to reprogram your health. Information that will empower you to live well, move well, and age well. That's Half Hour to Health every Tuesday at 3 p.m. with me, your host, Dr. Brett Bolton.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Nashakara. I go beat you, go be like you get accident. Nashakara. You don't know me.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Arellano. Again, we wanted to remind you that the Chris Elliott Fund is having the fundraiser, the Brain Matters Awareness Program on May 26th. One of the things that I wanted to mention in addition to that is we received an email message the next day after the show, or I did anyway, that a listener had been listening to the show and his brother-in-law was suffering from glioblastoma and had basically been told that they've run out of options and, you know, that he is where he is. And that by listening to the show gave him some hope. And not that I'm, you know, puffed up about the show. The show is really a servant to having people like you on the program. So people are listening and people do care and people definitely are getting hope from you being on the show. So what kind of message of hope would you like to give either the people here or the people where you're going?
I want people to believe they can make a difference in this world and live for something more than just themselves and to find joy in helping others and to really believe that people out there do care and are so generous. And so many people are doubtful of that. But I have been so amazed by people's support and encouragement throughout this few month long process. And I'm so amazed that we were able to raise $8,000. There were so many days throughout this year that my friend and I would just sit and cry and we're like, we can't do this. It's not going to happen. We have like $900. We're not going to make the $8,000 mark. And just to see people responding to that, you know, we've been blogging about our experience and getting word out and seeing people step forward and give has just been so amazing. And so just really believe that people out there do care and will help and you can make a difference in the world.
So you're getting on an airplane with 150 pillowcases. What else are you taking with you?
I've got the pillowcases, obviously my clothes, food for me this summer, and I'm just going to take a huge suitcase of donations, whether that's school supplies, books, the pillowcases, games, crafts to do with the kids. So anything that people have donated, I'm bringing this summer.
Excellent. How long is the plane trip?
That's a good question. I fly Seattle to London and then London to Uganda. So it's going to take more than a day to get there.
Wow.
It'll be a long, long trip.
And this is your second time?
Yeah, this will be my second time going to Africa.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And so are there any other parts of Africa that you're yearning to go?
Yes, I'm hoping to study abroad in Africa next spring. And I'm looking into maybe Ghana, since that's a different part of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm open to seeing all different parts. I know each part is very different. So I'm interested in traveling and seeing the differences between them. Yeah, I'm definitely open to that.
Excellent. What about you? So you're still in high school. So you've got to think about finishing high school first. But what is this experience? What is it fired in you about what you might want to be or do when you...
Also, my freshman year, actually last year, I thought it was kind of funny, happened same way. My social studies teacher, she played the Invisible Children movie for us, and she had gone through Invisible Children and studied and taught over there for a summer in Uganda, and I ended up becoming really close with her, and I'm friends with her now, and she ended up, you know, inspiring me to do more. And after seeing the Invisible Children movie also, then it really struck me. You know, I didn't really know what else was going on in the world. You know, I was living in this little bubble, and you know, it struck me. And now after hearing my sister's experiences and other people's experiences and going to Africa and helping other people out, it's really like inspired me, and I've really had a passion build up. And I'm hoping, you know, as of now, this is what I would like to do when I'm older, either open up an orphanage in Africa or work for one. I know everything can easily change over the next couple years after going, you know, I might want to do something totally different, but as of right now, I think it would be really awesome either to open up one or work for one when I'm older.
That's awesome. Did you have the same social studies teacher?
No.
Different, but the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in your school district?
Yeah.
So kudos to the teachers in our lives. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
They just inspire so much. Grew up in the North Bend area and have recently changed careers to do something completely different. And part of that inspiration was my high school psychology teacher. So I ran into him, actually, and I said, "Did you know?" And he looked at me and he's like, "I have no, they don't know. They don't know." So to all the teachers out there, you are incredible. And you inspire people in ways that you'll never know. You'll never know. People do these incredible things, and it's just that little seed that is showing a movie,
mm-hmm.
and that just makes a huge difference. What struck you most about that experience, about seeing that movie, besides the, you know, the horror of the whole situation? What was something, a little glimmer of hope that you got out of watching that?
I think first, the thing that struck me the most was how no one knew about this and how this 26-year-long war could go on and no one knew about it. And the hope was three boys going there, you know, they hadn't planned, you know, they were planning to go to the Sudan, and, you know, they ended up traveling over there and they documented this whole entire thing. And now, since then, they've built this huge organization, Invisible Children, and now they have helped try to put an end to the war, and just so how much they've done, and people all around the world coming together and, you know, wanting to end this war and bring peace to Uganda and mm-hmm. East Africa.
So is the plan to go every summer? Is that what you want to do?
Yes, but you never know. If I want to study abroad there next year and stay for the summer. So I just take it one step at a time. I want to live in the present.
Let's get you there.
Yeah.
And you're leaving next week.
I leave Monday. So I just want to enjoy this experience and just take it all in. And just, I've been counting down to this day of leaving for so long. I just want to enjoy this experience and take it all in and not think about the future while I'm there and just live in the moment.
Good for you. I love it. So when I talked to you last week, you were in California.
Yes.
And now you're in Washington, mm-hmm. and then you're going to London. And talk about instilling the love of travel there, Dad. So what do you do in California?
I go to college at Point Loma Nazarene University mm-hmm. in San Diego. It's a private Christian school there. So mm-hmm. I go to school there, and then I just came home to bring my stuff home for the summer, and then I leave for Africa.
Excellent. And do you plan on going there as well, or you got other aspirations
for
school?
Yeah, ever since we traveled there, my sister's sophomore year of high school, the first time we visited, I fell in love with the school, and, you know, I visit her once or twice a year, and I've gone to her classes, I've gone to the chapel, I've seen everything, and, you know, now, of course, I want to go there.
And hear you on the radio together. That's so cute. Oh, that's so awesome. Well, good. Well, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today. I think what you're doing is incredible. Is there anything else you'd like my listeners to know?
Just if you want to donate and help out, if you can go to my blog, smallthingswithgreatlove.weebly.com, and you can donate on my PayPal there, or you can email me at kristenklein2013@pointloma.edu, and I'm sure Kim will put that up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and that's Kristen with a K, but yeah, we'll do that. And then Facebook.
Yeah, I have a Facebook page. We have our Love Uganda t-shirts Facebook page.
You just type
that in. You should be able to find it. So if you donate on there, we'll take the funds with us this summer, and it'll go towards helping the orphanage in Uganda, and just really asking people to pray for us this summer for safety and health, that we'll be okay, and just praying for our experience and for God to just use us there to serve and for us to come back different.
Excellent. And then your blog is smallthingswithgreatlove.weebly.com. Yeah, I see it right here. So we'll make sure that we put that in there. And goodness, it is so good. Excellent. That's excellent. Now, you're not going next week. You're going...
No, 2 months from today.
Two months from today.
July 18th.
Excellent. So you're going to be biting your little fingers there until you get a chance to go. And then you're going for 3 weeks. And then are you coming back together?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cute. Okay, good. Excellent. Well, everybody, wish everybody well over there. Please keep us updated on the blog, because we want to hear about what you're doing. And definitely on Facebook so that we can reply back.
Yeah.
And let us know what we can do. While you're out there, you see something that you need, give us a call and we'll see if we can't rally the troops to get you something out there. But it's not like you can go to a local grocery store or something and, you know, buy 150 of something. You got to think those things a little bit through, right? Yeah, I would assume so. But that's okay. Give us a little call and we'll see what we can do for
you.
So good luck. Congratulations. And we're very impressed and look for really great things coming from the both of you. So good job, Dad. Thanks for being on as well. Well, thank you for listening to Walk the Talk. We've got a few more minutes left. And so one of the things that I wanted to chat with today is the Walk the Talk for Success tip of the day. And the tip of the day is going to be managing your manager. So one of the wonderful things that I get a chance to do is I do a blog for the Girl Power Hour. And I just wrote the blog today on managing your manager. So we just wanted to do a couple of tips. One of the tips when we talk about managing our manager. So these are situations where you walk in and your manager is struggling with you, or you're struggling with your manager. Just a couple of things to keep in mind. First thing to keep in mind when you're managing your manager is that the relationship between you and your manager is one of an authority figure, whether you agree with that or not. Unconsciously, subconsciously, within our brains, we do look at bosses, clergy, teachers, parents, kind of all in the same vein. And unconsciously, we often bring our relationship that we have developed and our patterns that we develop to that situation. So if you've ever been in a situation with your boss and your boss isn't happy, you may find that you regress to that of wanting to make the parent happy and do things that you normally wouldn't feel comfortable doing. And that creates tension, because typically speaking, bosses don't react in a way that makes sense either, because they haven't really been faced with these situations. So just kind of keeping that in mind. So that's your tip for the day. That's the Walk the Talk with Kim for Success, managing the manager tip. As we play with this a little bit more, we'll be giving you more tips. Again, don't forget, May 26th at the Bellevue Hyatt is the Chris Elliott Fund. Again, we're going to have Jean Smart as the keynote speaker and John Crowley as our MC. And I'm going to be there. And if you want to join me, you can go to chriselliottfund.org or go to the Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page and just say, hey, Kim, I want to go. And we'll get all that information to you so that you can join us at the table. And then also, don't forget, this show was brought to you by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a wealth of experience. That is the Pearson Promise. Thank you for listening today, and we look forward to talking with Ed Lincoln of Lincoln Towing next month. Enjoy, have a great day, and do something out there to help your local nonprofit and community-based organizations.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.